You are joining Making a Difference with Melissa Clark, a new show that shares the compelling stories and voices of well-known and everyday people who change the world in big and small ways. Enjoy our guests, call in, or just listen to be inspired, for this show was made with you in mind. Please join us every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our special guests. And you can listen to our recast at www.melissaclarkshow.com.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us here at Making a Difference. I'm Melissa Clark. It's been a crazy week here in New York City. The numbers have gone up and we expected that. The death toll has gone up. We've expected it. But we're going to be here to talk about more of the coronavirus. I have a physician on, I have people who are going to provide important information, and I have a beautiful singer on. So right now I'd like to start the show by popular demand, Monsignor John. Hi, Monsignor.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing spiffy.
Happy Holy Saturday. Tomorrow's Easter, and we're so sad that we're not going to be with you, but we'll see you tomorrow. You're doing a live program, right?
Yes, I am at 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m., okay. Just provide us with the Facebook live name.
The Facebook is St. Jude Canarsie.
Okay, and I'll do a live, I'll do a watch live, and hopefully everybody will join us. And we'll have a nice mass. And thank you so much for joining us today, and happy holidays to you. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say a couple of names here that we lost this week in the entertainment industry. Rich Aulino, who I met a few times, wonderful man. He's a promoter. He passed away. And DJ Danny Vargas. He was a huge DJ in the techno world. And he passed away from the coronavirus. And I would love to give my prayers to Anthony Causey. He's still in the hospital. So thank you, Monsignor. The floor is all yours.
All right. I'm going to open, of course, with a prayer, as you asked me to do.
Thank you.
I'm going to use the prayer that we used yesterday on Good Friday in a celebration of the Passion, Christ's Passion. And there's a list of petitions that are always sung. And we were asked to add another petition to it. This is petition number 11. And I'm going to use that.
Okay.
Let us pray. Dearly beloved, we pray for a swift end to the coronavirus pandemic that afflicts our world, that our God and Father will heal the sick, strengthen those who care for them, and help us to persevere in faith. Almighty and merciful God, source of all life, health, and healing, look with compassion on our world, brought low by disease. Protect us in the midst of the grave challenges that assail us, and in your fatherly providence, grant recovery to the stricken, strength to those who care for them, and success to those working to eradicate this scourge. And we ask this to you, our loving Father. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much. You're the best, and I wish you a happy Easter. Would you like to say anything for the church?
Let's say the church is we're still here. Obviously, no one's here because everything is closed. A lot of people have been watching our Facebook every day, you know, for Mass at 9 o'clock in the morning. And a lot of people have been dropping off their weekly envelopes, thank God, because without them, we cannot survive, you know?
Yes.
So we hope that continues, and we hope we're able to open our doors when this whole thing ends. Hopefully that will happen soon. Yeah. With God's help, it will happen soon. So,
thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Yes, absolutely. And I'll put your link up on my website, okay? So people can donate when they have the money.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Easter.
Goodbye
okay.
Now.
Bye. Thank you so much. That was lovely. Thank you guys for enjoying that. If you did, I just wanted to do a quick prayer. I want to do a quick introduction. Chantel, hello. Just unmute your hello.
Hi.
She's going to be singing for us today. She's a beautiful actress and a singer. And one day she's going to be on Broadway. I can see
thank
it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I hope so.
yes, you will. And we have Brian McDonough. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Melissa, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Brian's a personal trainer, and we're going to talk to him later. He took the test last week for the coronavirus, so we'll talk to him a little bit later. And Nick, hello, Nick. Nick Sava.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Nick had the coronavirus, so we're going to talk to him. Right now, I want to introduce Dr. Jeffrey Mark. He is my primary care doctor, and I have nothing but much respect for this man. Like, God bless him. Hi, Dr. Mark. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for being here. As you know, I called you up in a panic yesterday, so I'm like, you know what? I have to have him on my show because we still have more questions here. The death toll went crazy this week in New York. However, there are a lot of people who are recovering from this. So tell us what's going on there. And are there a lot of recoveries going on right now, Dr. Mark?
Yeah, from all reports that I'm receiving from the Department of Health and from local hospitals that I'm affiliated with, It seems like the admissions, the ICU admissions, the intubations have been decreasing. A lot of the deaths that are reported are for people who have been on respirators now for a while. So they inundated the system early on, were lingering, and unfortunately are passing away. So the numbers seem horrific, and they are, and they're increasing, but those are people who have been on respirators going on almost 2 weeks now, certainly more than a week. So the death toll, it's possible, can still continue to climb in New York City, and it also may reflect that people are also not coming into the hospital as much, too, as the wave subsides.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking tests in your office if people are having symptoms? What's going on there as a physician in a regular doctor's office?
Most PCPs are essentially closed down.
Okay.
The reason for that is we were instructed that if people are sick with potential COVID, to keep them out of doctor's offices. And then if you're well, why would you want to go to a doctor's office and sit in the waiting room and risk being exposed? So no doctors who are PCPs, I'm an internist, go to the office these days. We try to make our contribution keeping our offices together from home. So the point being that PCPs are not testing. If you went to the emergency room at a hospital, if you are not deathly ill, they're sending you home. They will not test you. The only way to conceivably at this point get tested is to go to local urgy centers, and their supplies are short, and they will just not do screening because you request it. You really have to have had exposure or have had significant symptoms of shortness of breath, chest pain, uncontrollable fever for them even to test you. The testing situation is not where it should be right now.
Now, we're in allergy season, right?
Yes.
What is the difference? What's the symptoms? Like, I called you yesterday. I was in a panic. I couldn't breathe. But now I'm starting to get panic. So I suffer from panic attacks. Well, it just recently came on. I haven't in a couple of years. Now, because of this COVID, I'm panicking because, you know, it's scary out there. So can you tell us what's the difference between having allergies and a panic attack and the coronavirus?
Okay. First, as far as allergies. Mm-hmm. Most people who have allergies have seasonal allergies and probably realized they had it last year, the year before, And if the symptoms are coming at the same time as previous years, the symptoms are roughly the same. You could have runny nose. You could have a cough. You could, you know, have itchy eyes. But really the difference is that you don't get fever with allergies. You don't get shortness of breath. So if somebody has traditional year in, year out allergies, and it happens again at the same time, they have no fever, they're otherwise feeling okay, I wouldn't really make much of it. A lot of people obviously have anxiety because they're worried that they're coming in contact with someone that may have gotten it. It's understandable. But if a person has been following protocol, has been isolating, taking precautions, wearing masks, wearing gloves, being very careful, distancing themselves, there shouldn't really be a problem. And if they're having anxiety at home, they should just, for a few minutes, just settle down, say to themselves, let me get a hold of myself. I have no fever. I have no significant cough. I don't have chest pain. I'm most likely okay. And more likely than not, that person will be okay.
Okay. And when you go over to the grocery store, you know, you wear your gloves, you wear your mask, you wear your, I wear goggles now. That's like a new thing that I started just so I can cover everything up. We come home, we do the right thing. You think we'll be okay? Like, cause I know when I come back from my runs every week for 2 or 3 days, I'm in panic mode that I've contracted it somehow, but I know that in my heart of hearts that I've done the right thing. So what would you tell somebody like me, you know, anybody? What would you recommend, that I am okay if I'm doing the right thing?
You are. What people do need to know is that when you wear a mask, you're protecting other people. It's mm-hmm. not protecting you. And unfortunately, masks are not foolproof. Small, tiny viral particles can get through in an aerosol. And that's the importance of distancing oneself a minimum of 6 feet. And if people do distance themselves and wear the mask and gloves, they're pretty much protected. You got to be careful when you come back from the grocery store to your home. You do need to still take precautions. You need to have a safe area to put potentially contaminated articles down. You have to take your gloves off, your mask off carefully, mm-hmm. wash your hands. Then you can put gloves back on and decontaminate your products that you purchased, put them in a different area that's not contaminated, take your gloves off, wash again, and then thoroughly scrub the surface of the area where you had potentially contaminated, you know, articles. But if you follow, overwhelmingly, it's not going to be a problem. This is a respiratory disease primarily. Mm-hmm. Very rarely, but not impossible, you can pick it up from contaminated surfaces. But overwhelmingly, this is a respiratory disease transmitted by droplet infection. Mm-hmm. And that's why the distancing is so important.
Thank you. Nick, did you have any questions? Nick is in quarantine right now. Nick, if you could take his... He's on mute. Can you take your mute? There you go. Yeah, did you have a question for Dr. Mark? Dr. Mark, Nick is actually in quarantine. He had the virus for, 13 days?
Yeah, about 13 days.
So now he's kind of in recovery. Do you have a question for Dr. Mark?
Yeah. How long until we actually took a test yesterday, me and my family. And I kind of feel a lot better. And I did. And I just want to know, how long does it take to really get out of your system? Or does it differ for everybody else?
There's no guidelines. But what I can say is what they're recommending, the ID specialist, infectious disease specialist, is that from the onset of symptoms, wait 2 weeks before you should return to work. And also with the proviso, you've had no fever for 72 hours. Now, ideally, and what they've done in China is they've retested people, swabbing for the most part, because antibodies weren't available yet. And what they were using as a baseline is two consecutive negative swabs more than 24 hours apart. So there's no definitive guideline in this country, because you're not going to be able to probably get tested 2 days in a row. It's hard enough to get tested once. So 2 weeks from the onset of symptoms, no fever for the previous 72 hours, and by 2 weeks, they're giving approval for people to return. What I want to tell people, whatever I'm saying now, everyone needs to, if they're having any issues, of course, touch base with their primary care physician. Everybody is different. Everyone has different symptoms. What I'm telling you are general rules, and people, if they have questions, obviously should contact their PCP.
Thank you so much. And how are you holding up as a person, Dr. Mark? How are you coping with this?
It's really, I have it easy because I'm doing pretty much telemedicine, because I have a very large practice of probably 10,000 patients. And I have to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm doing telemedicine. I'm answering calls by phones. I'm counseling, renewing medicines, arranging for referrals, arranging for blood tests. So I'm really, my staff has done an amazing job keeping the office together remotely. And the office is functioning. We're attending to all our patients' needs. But the true heroes are the people who are working on the front lines. They are absolute heroes.
Absolutely. Well, you're a hero to us because you are you're making yourself available. This man actually did FaceTime with me. He's like, I want to do FaceTime with all my patients. I did FaceTime. He's looking at me. Okay, you're good. So thank you so much for making us at home, who's in quarantine, feel comfortable. And thank you for your time. And I wish you well. And I hope I'll see you later. Thank you, Dr. Mark. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Good luck, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, Nick.
Yes.
We're going to go over to Nick, our patient. how are you feeling today?
I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good.
Good.
Every day is getting better and better. I slept last night, so that was a good thing.
Good. You were telling me that you had a lot of problems sleeping. So let's start. When was your first symptom and what was it?
It was about 9 days after I went to see one of my friends, which I believe was the Thursday of the 16th. Yeah, the Thursday of the 16th, I had a hard time sleeping because I did a lot of research on this disease. Mm-hmm. And on the 16th, 17th, and 18th, I must have slept about two hours each night, 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow. Kind of like I felt like I had insomnia and I didn't understand why I was not going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. You've never had a problem like sleeping before. You've never had a problem sleeping.
No, I'm usually a really good sleeper.
And then as the days went on, what was your symptoms?
I started losing. So after the third day, I started losing my taste and my smell.
Mm-hmm.
And then my whole family, except for my 8-year-old son, he didn't have any symptoms whatsoever. So I lost my taste, my smell. My wife lost her taste and her smell, coughing, and my daughter and my other son. And then it just started for me. I mean, for me, it just started progressing. You know, so I started coughing a lot. You know, kind of hacking my brains out, and then.
Were you having shortness of breath? Sorry.
Not at that time. It just started out as a cough, and my skin started feeling like kind of ricey and like icky, I guess. The fever I didn't have. I had maybe for 2 hours I had a fever. And then, you know, my family recovered, actually. My 15-year-old had it for 2 days. He was a mess for 2 days. He didn't feel good, and he got better. My daughter, I just had a cough. She lost her taste and smell. That came back. My wife had it, I would say, for about 4 or 5 days. And then for me, when I started feeling even worse, I called my doctor's office, and he goes, you have to go upstairs in your room and separate yourself. Before that, we contacted the CDC and we told them all our symptoms. It took us about 4 or 5 hours to get somebody on the phone. And they go, assume you have it, your symptoms, we're getting a lot of cases, they were getting flooded. And they said, you have a 95% chance that you have this. So then I went upstairs in my room, my bedroom, and I just quarantined myself. Luckily, I ended up, you know, doing like kind of an alternative in self-medicine, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what did you do to self-medicate?
I drank a lot of liquids, a lot of hot liquids, vitamin C, vitamin zinc, a lot of vitamins. Preemptively, when this started getting bad on the news, I started reading about it before it really hit here. And I bought these oxygen tanks from Amazon, and those helped. Then I also read that the hospitals, you know, the nebulizers are working for some of the patients. Mm-hmm. So when my kids had bronchitis when they were really young, we had nebulizers in the liquid. I took the nebulizer. I put some eucalyptus in there, and I was using the nebulizer because the breathing part was probably, I would say, the toughest thing.
Wow. Do you have one of these? Did you have one of these at your home? They're like recommending to get this. I had this from when my mother was sick. So this lets you know how your oxygen is.
Right.
And it comes in handy when I have my anxiety attacks. So like right now it's 98. So I know that I'm okay, but people who are, I would recommend getting this. They're actually advertising this now. What do you think, Nick?
I think that's very important because I had a lot of family members, get this. And my godbrother actually, he had to go to the hospital. He was fighting it for 12 days. You know, he didn't get tested or anything. And then it finally and got out of hand and he couldn't breathe. So he drove himself to the emergency room in Smithtown. And his oxygen was 80, went to like 79.
Wow.
So he couldn't breathe. They told him to sit on it. You know, he didn't need a ventilator, luckily. But they gave him oxygen and they told him to lay flat on his stomach when he goes to sleep.
Wow. And when you had your problems with breathing, what did it feel like?
It felt like somebody was pressing on your lungs, like literally taking your lung and like pressing down on your lung. And mm-hmm. The back part of your lungs, it was like someone was pressing in, like it was really mm-hmm. sore. Mm-hmm. A lot of body aches, a lot of muscle cramps. The breathing, I would say, is like sometimes like if you have anxiety or you have a sigh, it's like mm-hmm. like you're having a sigh constantly. You know, you're trying to catch your breath. You're trying to catch your breath all the time. And that's, it's a little crazy.
And you didn't get your test back yet, right?
No.
Okay.
But one of our friends who tested about 3 days ago, who was at the dinner with us, she still came up positive.
Wow.
So it was still in her system since that dinner that we had.
So Dr. Mark said everybody's different and it all depends on your body. Okay. And I want to discuss 5G, but I think I want to involve Brian with this. Brian, are you familiar with the 5G?
Okay. I know what it is.
Yeah. Cause we're going to discuss this after. I wanted to get Chantel, if you guys don't mind, we're going to have a little song, because Nick, you did recover. So, this song is just hopeful for people out there and with this beautiful voice, Chantel. So Chantel, thank you for doing this. And
oh, it's no problem at all. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And you're going to be singing Miracles. And this is just a hope for everybody who's going through this virus right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is for all the people who have, just been infected and have healed, or anybody who's, coming in contact with the virus. Just know mm-hmm. that miracles can happen. And this is when you believe, from the Prince of Egypt. Oh, we're having an issue. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
The sound is, it's on its way.
Sure.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep. There's a little hand here in the back.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Here we go.
Thanks.
Okay. afraid, with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts a hopeful song we barely understood. Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? Somehow you will. You will when you believe. In this time of fear, when prayers so often proved in vain, hope seemed like the thunderbird, too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here, my heart so full I can't explain, seeking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? Somehow you
Amazing. I'm crying.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. It was on my heart for a little while. And
yeah.
I had done it on Facebook, my Facebook Live the other day, and thank you for reaching out.
I saw that and I'm sitting there. I'm like, are you kidding me? I knew you had a great voice, but just because I heard that somebody passed away, and then I'm listening to that and I'm like, or somebody was getting better. So something affected me at that time. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm sitting here bawling my eyes out. Thank you. You're beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And I love your two different color eyes. I love it. Oh, I told you that. I love you so much. You're the best, Chantel. We're going to do a quick interview before you can actually close us out. But now let's get over to Brian. I just want to do a quick, we're going to do an interview with Brian, and I want him and Nick to talk and converse because they're actually both brilliant people. So Brian, thank you so much for being here. Brian is a personal trainer. He's from Rhode Island, just like you, Chantel. So you guys are in my favorite state. And Brian, how are you feeling today?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm not doing too bad. You know, sometimes you got to make the best out of the situation. So, and I'm glad that Nick is feeling better. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you really well.
So, did you say that you weren't tested at all? They just
no,
said that
I wasn't tested. When we were on the phone with the CDC, they just said stay home, and stay in your room. So when
are you in Rhode Island?
No,
so you're in Rhode Island.
I'm in New York. I'm in New York.
Oh,
I'm in Bay Ridge. I'm about 10 minutes away from Manhattan.
Right on, man. Yeah. Right on.
So, Brian, you got tested last week, right? They had it at Mystic somewhere in
Well, yeah. So you guys in New York, you guys don't have the quick testing, I'm assuming, right? You guys don't have any of that?
No, our results are going to come back in about a day. So I went to urgent care, like the doctor previously, and you know, they were swamped. He's like, I see 40 of these cases a day, and I was asking him questions, and, you know, this is a new disease. Nobody really knows that much about it. You know, they're just throwing everything, you know, outside of the kitchen sink at it. And, you know, it's just all my symptoms, you know, he sees them all the time. So, and they put us on a waiting list to get a test. And, you know, when I started to regress, I called my primary care physician, and he goes, go upstairs. If your family's feeling better, just go upstairs, stay in your room, let them leave food at the door, take everything up there. And I just fought it out.
So, that's good. I'm glad that you're feeling better.
Yeah.
And just a couple quick stories. So it might make you feel a little bit better, because I don't know how you feel about not being able to get tested. I mean, is that you obviously want to know for sure, right?
Yeah. So we went yesterday. We finally, they called us in. So we drove to Staten Island and, we waited online. It was like a drive-through. And
where did it take place, Nick?
It was in Staten Island.
Oh, so you have gotten the test now? You got it yesterday?
Yeah, just now, yesterday. So just yesterday morning.
Did they give you a quick swab, like a quick swab around your nostril, or did they go all the way up, you know, into your?
No, they went all the way up.
All right, so that sucked.
Yeah, my kids were crying and they were nervous. I was holding my daughter's hand. Oh, she was really like the most nervous one. But then, you know, they were giggling afterwards, so it was okay.
Did it hurt?
No, it stung. It stung. But I mean, it's nothing that, you know.
Nick, just one question, please. Where in Staten Island did they get it done, in case somebody wants to know?
That's a good question. I would have to, you know what, maybe I'll text my wife and I'll get the address for you.
Appreciate it. Wait, if you can, or else we'll get it and then we'll.
Absolutely.
So, Nick, are you now waiting for your results back?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I got them down. They had CVS down in Twin River in Rhode Island. So we got them done really quick, and CVS has a whole drive-through testing where you can get it done in literally half an hour, and you can get your results right there. So I waited in line for like an hour. And the test literally took, I don't know, 2 minutes. And then I waited for the results for 20 minutes in another parking lot. And, I was happy to find out it was negative. And so I was having some pretty bad coughing. And I have allergies, but I wasn't playing around with it this year. So I talked to my doctor and, I decided to go and get tested because they were having these quick tests. I was just going to tell you my stepfather had gotten really sick, and he already has underlying health issues, and he had a 104 degree fever and he had pneumonia, and they wouldn't even test him for COVID. So it kind of baffles me how they're running. And then I have, you know, I've been training for a long time, and I have a lot of military and law enforcement that I work with. And one of my military guys, who's now in the private sector, he travels all over the world. I mean, this guy has been traveling everywhere. And in fact, he was 500 miles from China, from Tokyo rather, or wherever out there. And he came back home because they grounded him. And, you know, the first thing he did when he came home was wanted to get tested. And he has a wife and kid at home. And they refused to test him because they didn't have enough tests apparently, but they told him that they couldn't test him at first. And then he finally got him to admit that, you know, hey, we don't have the test, you know? So, you know, the testing thing has been bothering me for a long time because I feel like that testing should be done universally. Now you got 330 million people in the country. You know, it's realistically, everybody can't get tested, but at the same time, for us to move forward, the people that are essential workers, everybody should be tested. And if you're going to go back to work at any time, you should be able to go to work and know that the 10 people, the 20 people, the 30, 40, 50 people you're working next to are all tested negative. And not only that, eventually some type of antibody test. I mean, we got to know. And as far as the data itself, you can't have accurate data. You can't have accurate numbers without having testing. It's just impossible to do. So I don't know how they're making all these models and everything. So without universal testing, or at least more tests. That being said, I mean, we have more testing than anybody in the world right now. So that's a good thing. You know, I mean, maybe that's why our numbers are so astronomically high. I don't know. Because the numbers to me from the beginning have been they didn't make sense to me. I mean, they still don't make sense to me. I mean, I don't know where they're at now, but we were close to 500,000 cases or something like that, some ridiculous number. And I know you guys in New York were getting hammered. I mean, I don't even know. Do you guys know what the numbers are right now? You don't have to look. I'll look right now, but I'll stop talking for a minute.
Yeah, we're getting destroyed.
And Nick, tell Brian and Chantel and all of our audience, you know, what you think as far as the 5G and the air quality.
Well, there's, I mean, I've done my own analysis and research, and I think everybody should do their own research. But, you know, New York and Manhattan is obviously very populated. So, you know, if you look at Wuhan, they're very populated as well. And, you know, the 5G, the scenario with the 5G is that, you know, it's a very powerful radio frequency. And it delivers, you know, a massive amounts of frequency in such a short span of time. So just to give you an example, if you were to download a movie on YouTube, and you were on what we're using now, obviously, you know, when we grew up, we had the phones and it would take forever to just get online. You know, if you would download a movie on YouTube that, you know, it's an hour and a half, you know, it would take a little while. You know, a 10-minute video doesn't load. You'll see it playing. You know, it'll load, it'll play, and it'll have like a little kind of bar where sometimes it stalls depending on the frequency. Well, an hour and a half movie on the 5G, you can download it in just like that in 3 seconds. And it's a very, very powerful frequency. And I mean, I think it just adds to the pollution. They said about a week ago that the pollution already went down in New York. I mean, a considerable amount. And, you know, we have a certain amount of nitric dioxide levels in the air, and, you know, we breathe in oxygen, and, you know, it's not the healthiest. And this is not really, I don't think it's helping us in any way, not adding to our health.
You're talking about the 5G?
Right.
And the air quality.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I mean, 5G to me, I mean, again, I don't know enough about it. And I, you know, I can't speak too much on things I don't know about. But I mean, I've done a little research on 5G, and they, you know, they've shown some cellular damage to the human body through with 5G, and the ability to for the immune system to be, you know, busted up a little bit through that 5G, because it's not a natural thing. You know what I mean? So. But the thing is that I think people should focus more on, and again, 5G is, you know, again, it remains to be seen. I mean, they're saying that the power that comes off a microwave and the is more dangerous than the 5G frequency. So, you know, you got to look more into it. You got to see how that all plays out. But going back to what you were saying about air quality, I think that the way that we live as a society is a big part of the issue here. I think that the chemicals and the glyphosate, the you know, GMOs, all kinds of chemicals in our foods, the manufactured foods and the processed foods and the sugars, and you know that's what's really destroying our immunity. That's what's causing problems. Our stress levels, the way that we live. I mean, we run around like rats on a wheel all day, every day. We drink coffee all day. We don't sleep. We drink alcohol all day. We smoke cigarettes. We do everything on top of everything. So, and some of the Food and Drug Administration allows some crazy ass chemicals to get in our food that some countries ban. I mean, the agriculture is jacked up. I mean, everything right now is got to be looked at, because, you know, what we're seeing here is our bodies are not able to fend off certain things. But I mean, when you look at the numbers, we're going to see that a lot of the people that are getting sick are immunocompromised. Can I just ask you, Nick, you smoke by any chance?
You smoke once in cigarettes? A while. Yeah, once in a while.
You smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, once in a while.
So, like, what lifestyle-wise, do you, do you take care of yourself? Do you exercise? Do you eat healthy? Do you eat healthy, like fresh food?
I would say about 80% of the time. 80% of the time. I try to keep a clean diet. You know, but there's been times in my life where I have to be completely honest that I let myself go and I'll just eat everything under the sun. I've gotten, you know, up to 300 pounds at one time, and I've gotten sick.
Right. Well, I mean, getting back to the point, I guess originally was the 5G can't. I don't necessarily think it's good for us, but I don't think it has, you know, the effect that people are saying. I think it's just, right, you know, people are grasping for straws, and you know, we need to get back to what is important here, and that's number one is our health from a stress standpoint and a nutritional standpoint, and making sure that we're not eating. Basically, in a nutshell, we're not eating a bunch of junk food full with chemicals that is destroying our immune system and our body's ability to fight off these type of situations. Now, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why COVID could be here. I mean, maybe this is a moment in time for us to take a pause and say, hey, what can I change about my lifestyle? I mean, we talked about it earlier, Melissa, how, you know, you like to use wine a little bit to calm your nerves and your anxiety levels and stuff like that. And, you know, me myself, I had to stop drinking and kind of take a hold of my health and really work on my stress levels and my anxiety levels. And people are in a tough spot right now. So there's a lot of angles here. There's a lot of things to think about of why this is so prevalent and why we're getting hammered so hard.
So, you know, Brian, you bring up a really good point, because this morning I made it a point, and I was telling Melissa yesterday that I have a mentor. His name is Dr. David Naylor, and he's kind of like a healer. He does network spinal chiropractic, and, you know, he's really, really good at what he does. And he takes care of a lot of men and does a bunch of breathing exercises. And if you look up network spinal chiropractic, it's a different it's a different way of treating your patients. And, you know, he talks about how food is an energy source and how you should live and, you know, the type of foods he eats, certain types of foods. And, you know, he was talking about how we live. He goes, I'm afraid. He goes, this morning he told me this. He goes, I'm afraid that if we go back to living the way we were, you know, we're going to have an even far worse situation.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you 1,000%. We all really need to reevaluate, think about what we do, think about our stress levels, think about what we put into our bodies, because I think the food is, you know, a lot of the food is polluted. It's funny that you say that, because when we were in Greece 2 years ago, it was me, my wife, my cousin Thraso, and his wife Jana. And there was 10 things that they don't use that we use in the United States. Aspartame, corn syrup. I mean, it was a list of things that, you know, we use. And I think all this plays a part. Everything plays a part in all this. The stress levels, the cortisol levels, the way we're constantly moving around, the carbon emissions. I mean, it has to do with the fact that we're overpopulated, the air pollution. You know, I think after reading everything, I think everything has to do with everything.
Exactly. It's definitely the perfect storm. Now, going back to when we talk in a practical sense, I'm not really a big conspiracy guy, and I'm not a religious guy. I mean, I'm more of a spiritual man these days, and I'm not very much into politics, but it seems to me that this thing is a natural. COVID is a natural virus from an animal, and it seems to me that somehow it got out of China. I don't know if it was by accident. I don't know if it was by design, but it's here now, right? So how we deal with this thing moving forward is really what we need to focus on, and not, you know, we can't change a lot of the things that have already been set in motion. All we can do right now is we can take a look at this and say, you know, how am I going to change individually. So everybody individually, if you're not learning from this and you're not kind of making adjustments, as this is a good time to move forward and make new decisions on how you're going to live your life, a healthier lifestyle. And this is not just about physical fitness, and it's not about breathing and the physical sense, but it's also a big piece of the mental and the psychological, how we think as Americans, how we live in this disposable society and this plastic society, and we just trample the earth and we run over this earth and we take whatever we want and we feel like we can just do that. So it's time to try to live in harmony with the earth, with each other. We need to take care of our bodies the way that we should. And not only that, our minds, because you want to talk about the level of anxiety and depression. Half of this country is taking the pharmaceutical industry is another part. All the antibiotics, all the pharmaceuticals that are people are pumping this stuff into their bodies like Tic Tacs, you know. And it's like, okay, if we have to, if our human bodies have to depend on all those type of pharmaceuticals, those unnatural ways, your body doesn't know how to do it anymore on its own. So now when something foreign comes in, like the COVID, this new foreign invader, so to speak, our body has never seen it, can't deal with it. It's and we basically have a weak system, you know, so we have to go back and figure out how we can get it stronger, our mind strong. We have to make better decisions, you know, so.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, Nick, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
We're gonna close off with this discussion, but thank you so much. And listen, I have Instagram. Whenever you guys feel like talking, let's do it. We can do a live and we can reach a lot of people on Instagram. So I'd love to do that with both of you if you can, because to me, you both have so much to say. You're both intelligent people. And I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Nick, if anybody has any questions, can they find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm under Executive Jets LLC. So they can reach me there.
And if you guys can't find, just feel free to message me and I'll get over to him. And we'll have you on again, Nick. I want to talk about everything that you're speaking of, and we'll have Brian on too, because you guys.
I would love to talk again.
Thank you. Are we closing out?
I'm sorry, Melissa.
Now I'm going to go to you, and I would like for you to tell everybody what you do every day. You're doing a workout.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So if anybody wants to find me, you can find me basically on Facebook, Brian McDonough. I think that's my name these days. Melissa, do you see my – you can find me on Instagram at BrianJohn101. But I just want to say this real quick. I want to say to everybody, be patient in this moment. Take your time and reevaluate some of the things that are going on in your life. And, you know, maybe use this moment now to – kind of reflect and put things in perspective. Eat as whole, as much whole, nutritious, natural foods as you can. A lot of dark leafy greens, vegetables, fruits, no processed sugary foods, fatty foods. Try your best not to fall into a pattern of, I know a lot of people are cracking open the beers or the drinks at 2 in the afternoon. Trust me, I used to do it myself. Self-medication is not the answer right now. Find healthy ways to stay on track here. Make yourself a schedule during the day, even if it's, I'm going to do this in my house, or I'm going to spend this time with my family. I'm going to call an old friend I haven't talked to. There's a lot of ways of coping with this situation, and try to stay moving. One of the most important things that we can do is keep our respiratory system, our heart and our lungs, our cardiovascular system strong and healthy. Go out for walks, go out for jogs, ride your bike, jump rope, stay moving, because the last thing you should be doing right now is stuffing your face with, you know, sugary snacks and laying on the couch and drinking beer and drinking wine and just kind of wallowing in this moment, because I'll tell you, we're not going anywhere for a long time. This is not going anywhere for a while. And Nick, I'm really glad that you healed, and it's awesome, brother. Stay strong. Maybe quit smoking now too. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to call you out or anything, but get off those butts, you know? And this is a new lease on life, my dude. So, you know, keep rocking and rolling and eating healthy. And love is the key here, guys. I mean, I've been through a lot in my life. We have to look at the situation and say, you know what? All right, I'm going to spend my time focusing on the positive things in my life, all my blessings. Yeah, we're getting hammered. We can't go to work. We're losing money. Our bills are stacking up. But guess what? We can always make money again. That's no problem. You know,
I wish I had a 2-hour show. I'd have you guys for two hours. I know. You guys are great. So please watch. Brian has his own workout every day on Facebook, and I'll put it on my website. Please go ahead and follow him. He's unbelievable. And Nick, God bless you. Love you.
Thank you.
Nick and I, we have my family is his friend. So thank you so much.
Stay strong.
Yeah, Brian, stay. Thank you, guys. So Chantel's going to close us off here. One, you guys can stick around. Thank you to Preferred Health Magazine. I love you guys so much. This is my heart right here. We put a lot of good information in this. And Chantel, tell us, when did you start doing your vocals really quick? We have about 2 minutes for an interview.
I started singing when I was 3. So Selena was my favorite, and my parents have recordings of me like singing in front of the TV. So 3 years old, I was singing in English and Spanish.
Because you're Portuguese, and, right?
Yes, I am Portuguese. So it came easy.
Yeah, I love it.
But yeah, and then I just pretty much stayed singing and performing throughout school whenever our school had shows, and I didn't start taking my first voice lessons until I was a sophomore in college, which was a handful of years ago. So I've been trying to stay steady with that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see you on Broadway, and I'm always trying to help you out here in New York City with the people that I know, and I would like to do, we'll do an Instagram, you and I, and I can have everybody, my followers, listen to you. Awesome. I'd love to do that one day, because your voice is amazing. Yeah,
I love that. Thank you so much.
thank you so much. I believe in you. I think you're beautiful. I met you in person from our friend Nick Albanese, the famous, I gotta plug him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's how I met you. You were in his film,
The Many Sides to the Reaper.
The Many Sides to the Reaper. So yes. Nicholas, thank you so much for introducing me to this beautiful girl. Please guys have a great week, and Chantel's gonna close us off. Thank you and namaste.
Alrighty, friends. So here is All That Jazz. I recently played Roxy in Chicago. And this was the opening number to the show. Roxy unfortunately didn't sing it, but I'm gonna sing a little All That Jazz for you. Here we go.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? Bruise my knee.
Ooh, can we start that? Sorry, my bad, guys. It started late. Let's try that again. Here we go. All right, here we go.
Don't we paint the town?
Sure.
Yep.
Want to do it again?
One more time. Third time's a charm, guys. Love y'all. Here we go. Go. All right. Here we go.
Come on, babe. Why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz. I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz. Start the car. I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold, but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl. And all that jazz. Slick your hair and wear your buckled shoes. And all that jazz, I hear that Father Dip is gonna blow the blues. And all that jazz, hold on, hon, we're gonna bunny hug. I bought some aspirin down at United Drugs in case you shake apart and want a brand new start to do that jazz. Oh, I'm no one's wife, but oh, I love my life and all that jazz. That jazz.